Hi and welcome. You're listening to the X22 Report. My name is Dave, and this is episode 3601BN. Today's date is March 21st, 2025, and the title of the episode is Evil is Embedded Globally, Deep State Being Dismantled in Each Country. U.S. is the First Domino. Let's talk about our health. Speaking of digestive issues, this is caused by a potential toxin that's in all of the, quote, healthy foods that scientists have been telling us to eat with a fraudulent food pyramid for the longest time. And this potential toxin causes digestive issues, according to Dr. Gundry, a world-renowned cardiologist. This is affecting millions of people nationwide. Warning signs include weight gain, fatigue, digestive discomfort, and stiff joints, even skin problems. Well, Dr. Gundry explains these side effects are often mistaken for normal signs of aging because digestive issues develop usually over a matter of years and sometimes even decades. I can assure you that the damage is probably caused by these healthy foods and it is far from normal. The good news is you can easily help fix a problem from your own home. It's very simple. You just have to know which foods are actually healthy and which contain the hidden potential toxin. So you can find this yourself at gutcleanseprotocol.com/X22. That is gutcleanseprotocol.com/X22. Or click the link in the description because after years of research, Dr. Gundry has decided to release an informative video to the public free and uninterrupted, showcasing exactly which foods you need to avoid. Go find that video at gutcleanseprotocol.com/X22. That is gutcleanseprotocol.com/X22, or click the link in the description. Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, the deep state, the corrupt politicians, big tech fake news, the puppet masters, they are panicking over what Trump is doing. And it just doesn't have to do with the United States. You have to remember, evil is embedded globally. Yes, the U.S. has a deep state. Yes, Germany has a deep state. The U.K. has a deep state. Israel has a deep state. Russia has a deep state. Every single one of these countries, there is some form of deep state. And yes, they are embedded in these countries. And what's going to happen is as Trump exposes and dismantles the deep state system in this country, it's going to fall apart around the world. Actually, the U.S. is going to be the first domino that falls. And once that domino falls, it's going to spread around the world. Why is that? Because the only way the deep state players, their entire network can operate is with money. If you start shutting down the flow of their funding, they cannot operate. That's why the WHO is having a difficult time right now. You're going to see the World Economic Forum. Remember, Elon just shut the funding down to the World Economic Forum. You're going to see them have a lot of problems. All the different organizations that you see across the world that were created by the deep state players to keep you in line, to keep their narrative alive, it's all of a sudden going to start to fall apart. And the evil that is embedded around the world, they're also going to start to fall apart because they will not have the funding to keep it up. Now, this is why in this country at this point in time, they are trying to stop Trump with everything that they have. And you could see with the judges that they put into place, they did this on purpose, of course. And you're actually looking at the system. I mean, yes, if we go back a little bit in time and Trump, when he won the election, the evil that was embedded in this country still existed. It still exists right now. Even with Trump placing his people into position on the high level, you have hundreds of thousands of people within DC, within these agencies, outside of the agencies, at the federal level, if you see the federal judges right now, and at the lower level where you see the foot soldiers. These people, they make up the deep state system. And Trump is exposing the entire system right now. He wants the people to see it. He wants them to do what they're doing right now, because otherwise, if they're not exposed, how would you know what the system is? Now, if we go back to the time during Biden, that was very, very easy to see. You saw Biden open the borders. You saw them lie about the open borders. They told you it was closed. Mayorkas came out and said, no, it's closed. But everyone goes, well, I see with my own eyes. I see millions and millions of people coming in. How is this closed? It isn't closed. It's open. Same thing with the economy. Same thing with what's going on in the Middle East and out in Ukraine. Same thing with all the woke crap that we saw. So that was easy for people to see because they saw Biden do it. They saw the White House press secretary lie. They saw Biden lie. They saw Kamala lie. They saw Mayorkas lie. They saw Ray lie. They saw everyone lying about what was really going on. And people, they saw it with their own two eyes. They heard it with their own two ears. And they said, you're lying to us. This is how Trump woke up a lot of people, and people saw it very, very easily. Trump now is in the White House, but that system is still there. The system is still operating. And this is what Trump needs to get rid of. He needs to get rid of the embedded evil system. And it's not just here in this country. It's around the world. And every single country has something like this. Because you think it was only here in the U.S. that they created a deep state system? Of course not. So when we look at other countries like Germany or the U.K., it's not the people of that country, just like it's not the people of America. We're doing regime change, where we're doing nasty things across the globe. It's not we, the people, it's the system. So when you look at countries, it's not the people within the country, it's the unelected and installed people that are doing these things. And that's a very big distinction that we need to make moving forward, because again, we just can't blame a country or a people. I mean, again, with Muslims, not every Muslim is bad. Just like in the FBI, not every FBI agent is bad. You still have good people and you have bad people. I do believe in this world, what you have is you either have good person or a bad person. And that's pretty much it. So again, when we start to look at this, we need to make sure that we're not putting everyone in a group and saying every single person is bad. And I do believe moving forward, we're going to see the deep state be dismantled every step of the way. And Trump has been doing this since he came into the White House in 2016. Now, again, this is not a process where we just do it and it's over with. Because remember, the deep state players, they would drop a bomb in a minute and just blow everything up because they don't care. They don't care if you live or you die. They don't see us as on the same level. They see us as sheep. They see us as ants. They see us however you want to say. They don't care. And I do believe this is why Trump decided to take this path. Because if you go back to JFK, if you go back to Ronald Reagan, I mean, think about it. Trump now, he's doing everything that Ronald Reagan wanted to do, but Reagan couldn't complete the task. Remember, we're not just winning the election. We're not just getting rid of one department. We're removing the evil that is embedded into the entire country. And that goes for Germany. That goes for France. That goes for the UK. That goes for Israel. That goes for every single country that is out there. And that evil must be removed, because if we don't remove it, we go back to the way we were. They're just going to take over again. And everything that Trump has done is kind of worthless. So his plan is to dismantle the entire system. And the only way to dismantle it is to show people what the system is. And I do believe this part of the plan right now that we're in, since he won the election, he's allowing the deep state players to expose themselves. He's allowing them to show everyone that they're going to control the executive branch. You're going to have one judge saying, I will tell you who can go into the armed forces. You're going to have another judge saying, I will tell you who you can hire and who you can fire for USAID. You're going to have another judge saying, you know what? I will tell you if you can deport or bring in illegals into this country. I will be the one that's going to tell you this. You're going to have another judge saying, I will be the one to tell you if people should get an injection or not, or what drugs can be put out there or not. And I'll tell you what the FDA can and cannot do. This is what the judges are doing right now. They're acting like they're the president of the United States. And I think this is what Trump wanted everyone to see. He wanted to show everyone, look how corrupt the system is that the deep state has created. Remember, they rushed to get all these judges into place because their plan was to basically ride this out and stop Trump for 4 years. They're hoping with injunction after injunction after injunction after injunction, he gets nothing done. Just like they did with Ronald Reagan and JFK, they just completely and utterly removed. So I do believe by doing this, this is going to show the people, and actually it's going to back the judiciary into a corner, the Supreme Court into a corner, and then you're going to have the legislators going, okay, we see what's happening here. Now we can act or the Supreme Court can act. And in the end, the people have all the power. The people will decide their fate. And I don't mean it's going to be violence. I mean, we'll just get rid of them, just like in El Salvador. If you're not allowing the president that we voted for to do his job, and you're stopping every step of the way, and you're telling him in each department what he can and cannot do, well, that's what kind of country is that? And I think the people needed to see this and needed to see it very, very clearly. And along the way, as Trump declassifies more and more of what happened to RFK, MLK, moving up to Russian collusion and even past that, I think people are going to start to see that the deep state system is not just the people within this country, but it's also they're working with other deep state systems outside of this country, because this is how this whole thing is run. And yes, it's Five Eyes. Yes, there might be people in Israel. There might be people in other countries. And we could see that, yes, this is all going to come out into the light and people are going to see the evil that has been embedded in the entire system. And I do believe that people are going to see this and the story is going to be created to show that, look, they've been running this whole world. They've been causing all of these problems. They've been creating events and then all of a sudden they come up with solutions. So I think people are going to see this and people are going to understand as we move forward. But again, the people must see it to believe it. And that's what we see happening right now. So let's start off with some of the JFK files. And remember, there's a lot of JFK files and going through each one of them and checking out to see what's real and what's fake and what information that people are putting out. We need to start to create a story so we can understand what's really going on here. Election Wizard put this out and said, JFK files, CIA rejected Logan gun theory. A newly released memo from the JFK files, known as the Donald Heath memo, confirms the senior CIA officials rejected the Logan gun explanation in the weeks following JFK's assassination. Clandestine put this out. The new batch has some juicy stuff about global CIA covert action programs. The CIA were operating essentially all over the globe to combat Soviet influence. Argentina, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Brazil, Venezuela, Peru, Japan, Congo, Italy, France, and much more. Then a few slides later, it talks about a briefing with CIA Director Dulles, notifying the board that the CIA control Radio Free Europe, the Afro-American Institute, and the various other labor and youth groups. The CIA were controlling mass media and were controlling groups like the Black Panthers to conduct protests. Kind of sounds similar to BLM, doesn't it? Then President JFK shows up to the briefing and suggests that the CIA covert action programs are outside the scope of the CIA's supposed primary intelligence gathering mission and was not worth the taxpayer money. This is why the CIA didn't like JFK. He was onto their schemes and was trying to shut them down. And remember, the CIA is not supposed to operate on U.S. soil. And yes, there are many other factors into why JFK was murdered, assassinated. But again, you could see that he was butting up against the CIA and hitting them very, very hard. Plus, JFK also went up against the central bank where he issued the silver certificate. And once again, when you go up against the central bank, well, this is a no-no because, again, what funds all of the operations? It is the central bank system. And think about it. This is all revolving around the time when they were about to pull us off the gold standard. Because who was setting up the petrodollar standard so we could become full fiat? This was Kissinger. He was making deals out in the Middle East in the 60s, setting up a parallel economy. And when the time was right, they did the switchover. They went from gold. Of course, they told us it was temporary. I mean, it's 50-something plus years. I don't think that's temporary. And they took us off the gold standard. And this way, they could go full fiat, which means the corrupt individuals within government, they could borrow like crazy. And what happened? It just got worse and worse and worse as time went on. And we could see that the CIA, they were trying to create discord and they were trying to create war across the globe. Mike Benz put this out and said, in March 1965, the New York Times reported the CIA had contaminated 14,135 bags of Cuban sugar bound for Russia to create discord between Cuban and Russian authorities, and JFK had to step in and turn the ship around. The CIA's confession here remained redacted until March 2025. And this was reported in the New York Times back in 65. It says President Kennedy balked CIA plot on Russian sugar. Kennedy foiled CIA sugar plot. So that is very, very interesting. Now, the other thing that we've come to find out is that Israel is now popping up in certain documents. And the newly declassified JFK files reveal that former CIA counterintelligence chief James Angleton testified under oath in an executive session before the Church Committee in 1975 about deep intelligence ties between the United States and Israel. The testimony given in a top secret executive session was part of the Senate Select Committee's broader investigation into intelligence operations. Though much of the session was focused on Cold War espionage and Soviet defections, one line of questioning zeroed in on allegations that the U.S. intelligence may have assisted Israel's covert nuclear program. Angleton, who served from the agency's founding until late 1974, confirmed a formal, albeit unwritten, intelligence sharing agreement between the CIA and Israel operatives beginning in 1951. One reportedly brokered between Angleton and Reuven Shiloah, Israel's first Mossad director, noting the relationship operated on a fiduciary basis and avoided documentation. The transcript revealed that Angleton was confronted with allegations raised by journalists Tad Zuhl and author Seymour Hersh, who both suggested that key figures, including Israeli scientists and former U.S. nuclear experts, played roles in a clandestine pipeline of nuclear knowledge to Israel. Hersh had even claimed that U.S. plutonium was transferred covertly for use in Israeli nuclear program development. Angleton responded to these claims with caution. He acknowledged that if such transfers occurred, they were not within his knowledge or authorized under CIA operations. He did express concern about the consequences of such allegations on U.S. credibility and Middle East diplomacy, especially if widely believed internationally. So we could see that the CIA was dealing with many, many different nations. And yes, Israel was trading intelligence with the CIA. And this is very interesting because if you think of all the movie Sum of All Fears, yes, Israel had a nuclear bomb, but where did that nuclear material originate from? It originated from the U.S., which is very, very interesting. But so far, clandestine kind of sums up what he has found so far. And he says, what can we say definitely from the JFK files? The CIA are engaged in disturbing criminality to include regime change, sabotaging food supply via biological agents, global control of media, and more. Meaning there are no rules and elements within our government are evil. This means that conspiracy theorists were correct about a lot, and those who blindly trust the U.S. government are ignorant to how the game is played. The JFK files don't just prove CIA criminality in the past. They add much needed context to understand the corruption of the present. They add validity to the belief that the CIA-USAID created C-19. They add validity to the belief that the CIA State Department conducted regime change in Ukraine in 2014. They add validity to the belief that the CIA Ukraine attempted to assassinate Trump. They add validity to the belief that the CIA-USAID control much of the media around the globe. The JFK files prove that the CIA are willing to use any means necessary to get what they want. The JFK files prove that a deep state is real, and there are zero indications that it ever went away, because the deep state never went away. And I do believe this is going to be a lot of the story of it's going to show you that the deep state just grew bigger and bigger and bigger. And they are the ones who are running this country and running a lot of the other countries around the world. So I do believe as we move forward, we're going to see a lot more of this. And this is now you can understand why Biden and his team, you know, the deep state players within the government, why they have no problem spying on American people, why they had no problem using social media to censor people, because it's the deep state system. They believe they have the ability to do this, and they don't really care about the Constitution. They really don't care about the rule of law. The only time they care about it is when they're caught. And what's very interesting is that American First Legal, they found something very, very interesting, and this is what they put out. Explosive new documents expose a massive government-backed censorship operation orchestrated by USAID, the global engagement center, the UK government, and media firms to manipulate public discourse and silence Americans. The documents reveal the Global Engagement Center, the U.S. Agency for International Development, the UK government, and media groups working together to conduct mass censorship under the guise of misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. AFL obtained the documents through ongoing litigation against the U.S. Department of State, GEC. The GEC, which was forced to shut down in December 2024, was originally created to combat foreign disinformation abroad. Though through litigation, AFL exposed that GEC promoted state-sponsored propaganda using private media organizations to suppress American speech. AFL's litigation also revealed that USAID created an internal disinformation primer, explicitly praising private sector censorship strategies and recommending further censorship tactics. Key revelations from the new documents: GEC and USAID coordinated to censor COVID-19 misinformation and counter COVID-19 propaganda. You mean the truth. GEC worked with UK government officials to combat disinformation. GEC partnered with private media censorship firms to use AI to identify misinformation. GEC's liaisons planner to USAID told USAID and GEC wanted to sustain dialogue and connectivity during these unprecedented times to help counter misinformation surrounding COVID-19. This effort contradicts USAID's stated mission to extend assistance to countries recovering from disaster, trying to escape poverty, and engaging in democratic reforms. The records obtained by AFL show extensive coordination between GEC and several branches of USAID, including TF 2020 to COVID-19, Digital Development, Asia Bureau ES Taskers, Asia Outreach, Conflict Prevention and Stabilization Policy, CPS Africa. 2 days after the 2020 U.S. presidential election, NewsGuard Matt Skibinski reached out to government employees to pitch the media censorship organization services, further revealing collaboration between government agencies and media firms to suppress free speech, including on this email: Parker Advisors Director Christina Nemmer, an Obama Administration Department of State alum, government employees from the Department of State, the National Security Agency, and Department of Defense components, including the National Security Innovation Network, U.S. Cyber Command, and the U.S. Army European Command. The House Small Business Committees found that Park Advisors received a GEC cooperative agreement award of more than $6 million. And you could see that they, the deep state players, were controlling what people said. Now, they didn't care about the Constitution. They didn't care that it violated every single person's rights. Why? Because they're not playing within the law. They only say, oh, sorry about that, when they get caught. And we could see they are caught, which means all these different organizations, they should be completely and utterly shut down, which I do believe Elon and team are actually doing. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is Schumer, he's starting to admit a lot of things when he's being interviewed, either by accident or maybe just a coincidence, which I don't believe in a coincidence. Or was this just part of the plan of him letting everyone know, hey, this is how we're going to take down Trump? So Schumer, he admits Democrats organized the AstroTurf activists to travel and target GOP town hall meetings. So he actually admits that they did this. And later on, he's also admitting that they put these judges in place for one specific reason: to stop Trump. We'll be talking about that in just a sec. But you could see that they don't want Schumer in place anymore. And it looks like they are now trying to remove him from his position. Because again, he's telling everyone what their plans are. He doesn't have a grasp of the entire situation. And every time he talks, it's backfiring on him. So this is very, very interesting. Just like it's backfiring on all those people that are going after Tesla owners, going after the dealerships, And what's very interesting, people are trying to compare this to Kid Rock, where he was actually shooting the Budweiser cans. But here's the big difference. He went out and he purchased the Budweiser cans, the Bud Light cans, and he owned them. He shot them up. These people that are destroying people's cars, they don't own them. Somebody else owns that property. When they go and light a dealership on fire, they don't own that. Let's talk about staying healthy. Brooke Burke, a fixture in the entertainment and wellness industry for decades, known for her roles in Dancing with the Stars and Wild On, is not one to shy away from the spotlight. But shortly after she turned 50, despite her expertise, the fitness icon suddenly found herself battling a body that seemed to be working against her. Now Brooke is opening up publicly about her experience because it's won millions of women's face, unexplained weight gain, muscle loss, and declining energy. And she's revealing how she discovered one thing that made her leaner, stronger, and healthier than ever. She says today at 53, she feels amazing and her abs are tighter today than they were 10 years ago. What changed for her was she began biohacking and discovered that she needed more protein, but not just any protein, one specific protein, which was a total game changer. And when she found it, she says it was like uncovering a secret weapon for weight management and muscle gain. Everything changed. I'm leaner and stronger than I've ever been in my whole life, she says. She's sharing this with the world, to both women and men, so they can learn all about the revolutionary protein. This video she released went viral, and since you're a loyal listener, I'm sharing it with you in case you haven't seen it. You can go find that video right now by going to tonyprotein.com/X22. That's tonyprotein.com/X22. Or you can just click the link in the description box below this video to watch it right now. Brooks also says, the biggest and best surprise is that my solution is so simple. There's no need for excess diet or workouts. It takes less than a minute a day and has become my favorite part of my morning routine. This is why I'm so excited to share what I found. Even if you gain weight easily, have a crazy busy schedule, or think you've tried everything, there's hope. Go find out now by going to tonyprotein.com/X22 or just click the link below this video. That's tonyprotein.com/X22. And remember, all individuals are unique. Your results can and will vary. They're destroying somebody else's property. They're committing a crime. And when you look at Kid Rock, who shot up the cans that he purchased, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to shoot them up. I mean, he could have crushed them. He could have drank them. He could have done whatever he wanted with them. He bought them. But remember, these people that are now going after the Tesla owners or the dealerships, they don't own this property. They are actually destroying somebody else's property. That's the difference here. And they can't get it through their heads. It's absolutely amazing. But these people are being caught. The guy in California was caught. The guy in Texas was caught. And we're still looking for a guy in Colorado, someone from California, someone from Florida and Illinois. And yes, there's many, many other people. But you can see these people, they're out there and they're speaking freely about taking Elon down, which is a crime. Laura Loomer put this out and said, meet Alice Hu, one of the main organizers of the Tesla takedown protest. She's a New York organizer, longtime climate change activist, and the current executive director for Planet Over Profit. She was one of the speakers on the Tesla takedown organizers call this Wednesday, who bragged about her involvement in the violent Manhattan Tesla rallies this month, where members of POP and Sunrise Movement were arrested for vandalism of Tesla showrooms. Who is calling for a demonstration at all 277 Tesla showrooms in the United States. During the call, she called Elon Musk and President Trump wannabe authoritarians. She also encouraged everyone on the call who wanted to get involved to protest at Tesla showrooms or Tesla charging stations. Alice Hu is Chinese. And I love when they say, oh, these are protests. No, not when you're destroying property. That is no longer a protest. A peaceful protest is you walk around with signs and you protest something. You don't touch anyone's property. You don't hurt anyone. You don't light things on fire. As soon as you do that, it's no longer a protest. It is a riot. It is a crime. And you need to be arrested. And anyone telling people to go ahead and do this, that is a crime. And maybe we should be arresting Representative Jasmine Crockett. And Wokeness put this out and said, Representative Jasmine Crockett asked activists to take down Tesla and Elon Musk on her birthday. So what does that really mean, take them down? Because she's not saying, hey, protest Elon for me on my birthday. She said, take him down. It sounds like it's a threat, doesn't it? Robbie Starbuck put this out on X and said, over the next few days, you're going to see an organized professional protest effort at Tesla stores put together by a group called Indivisible. And yes, you can see there's many, many different groups. And yes, these are funded by George Soros Foundation. George Soros Foundation has given Indivisible nearly $8 million for their activism. They're calling these Tesla takedown events, and they're doing it in the midst of a domestic terrorist spree targeting Tesla and Tesla owners. They have these planned across the entire country. These images are just six examples. How can this not be seen as encouraging more violence and terrorism? I personally think that any violence occurring near locations they've chosen should result in Soros, his foundation, Indivisible, and their founders being held criminally accountable as co-conspirators. The Indivisible founder are Ezra Levin and his wife, Leah Greenberg. They became resistant figures during Trump's first term, and their work is celebrated by elected Democrats. So yeah, it's clear to me that the Democrats and their typical thugs are organizing this insanity. There's reportedly even a form protest leaders can fill out to receive reimbursement payments for their protests. So yes, if they're funding this, they're giving money, and they're telling people to go out to the showrooms to go after Tesla owners, and they're destroying property, well, they're involved in all this. They're the ones who are funding this. And I do believe Trump is letting everyone know, we're going to be going after every single one of these individuals. I wouldn't be surprised as this picks up, and I do believe it's probably going to expand, because remember, it's the same exact people that were protesting and then rioting in BLM, the same exact people that were rioting for Free Palestine. Now they just change costume once again to go out there and destroy Tesla. And I do believe they're going to try to expand this, which means I wouldn't be surprised if the National Guard isn't called out to protect certain areas. And anyone that is trying to attack or destroy, they will make arrests. Let's see how this all plays out. This is going to be very, very interesting. But Gunther Eagleman, he is now writing a letter to Bondi and Patel, Cash Patel, to help with those who are getting swatted. And Gunther Eagleman put this out and said, the House Oversight Committee has sent a letter to AG Bondi and Cash Patel requesting information into the swatting events that have targeted myself and many other conservative voices. I hope every last perp gets exactly what they deserve. And they should. Trump, he put this message out, and it's a very, very strong message, and he says the following. I look forward to watching the sick terrorist thugs get 20-year jail sentences for what they are doing to Elon Musk and Tesla. Perhaps they could serve them in the prison of El Salvador, which have become so recently famous for such lovely conditions. And you know what? Maybe they should be sent there. If they're going to really be a domestic terrorist like they are, because that's exactly what you're seeing. Remember, everything that they projected on the MAGA people onto Trump, they are actually doing right now. They are actually being the thing that they said that Trump was. They are the domestic terrorists. And again, you could see it as clear as day. There's no arguing about it. Because when you see these people scratching, breaking windows, jabbing a tire with a knife, and destroying somebody's property, then going to the showrooms. And actually, you have an organization that is funding this and telling them what to do. This is a coordinated effort, and they are domestic terrorists in this country. So it's clear as day in what they're doing. But you can see that the FBI right now, they are now actually rounding up criminals. And I do believe we're going to see DHS, FBI, DOJ, they're going to start moving, and they already have started, but they're going to ramp this up. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they called up the National Guard to help out. But you could see that since Cash Patel came into the office, they have now caught three of the top 10 most wanted. You know how many the FBI caught last year? Zero. How in the world did Cash, and he was just confirmed a little while ago, how did he already catch three of them? Isn't that amazing how all of a sudden things can be done when you're concentrating on actual criminals? Absolutely incredible. But you could see that these judges that were put into place, these are not judges that are following the rule of law. These are judges that were put into place to actually run out the clock for Trump and his administration. And we could see another Obama judge. They have barred DOGE from accessing Social Security systems. And they're saying that Musk's workers are on a fishing expedition. Well, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Now, who is the judge that did this? This is U.S. District Judge Ellen Hollander. And this is what she says. The DOGE team is essentially engaged in a fishing expedition at SSA in search of a fraud epidemic based on little more than suspicion. It was launched a search for the proverbial needle in the haystack without any concrete knowledge that the needle is actually in the haystack. This is what she wrote. And you have to remember, think about what she just said here. They're on a fishing expedition. DOGE is not law enforcement. They don't have prosecutorial abilities. They're not conducting a civil or criminal investigation. They're not, you know, seeking a warrant to investigate. What are they doing? They're auditing. Just like the IRS would audit your taxes. Just like every single department needs to audit themselves or have an outside firm audit that department. So DOGE is that audit department. The problem that they're having is that they have no control over this audit department. And they don't want Elon and his team to find certain things when they do the audit. That's what they're really afraid of. Because remember, this is their money laundering operation. How do you think they function? All these programs are meaningless. They're cover stories. Basically, they don't want anyone to look into the system to see that they have been taking the money and they've been using it. I'm talking about the system, the evil that's embedded in this country. They've been using it to push their objectives. And just from the JFK files, you could see that very, very clearly. And I do believe the story is going to continue as more and more of these declassified information continually comes out. People are going to learn, wait a minute, I see what's happening here. The system grew. It got worse and worse. And they were able to fund themselves. And you can see the New York Times, all the different propaganda outlets, they're trying to make it seem like Elon is taking over everything. The New York Times put this out and said, Musk set to get access to top secret U.S. plan for potential war with China. Sean Parnell put this out and said, this is 100% fake news. Just brazenly and maliciously wrong. Elon Musk is a patriot. We are proud to have him at the Pentagon. He went to visit. Trump, he put this out and said, the fake news is at it again. This time, the failing New York Times, they said incorrectly that Elon Musk is going to the Pentagon tomorrow to be briefed on any potential war with China. How ridiculous. China will not even be mentioned or discussed. How disgraceful is that? The discredited media can make up such lies. Anyway, the story is completely untrue. Elon responds and says, the New York Times is pure propaganda. Also, I look forward to the prosecutions of those at the Pentagon who are leaking maliciously false information to the New York Times. They will be found. Then Trump put this out. Elon Musk will be briefed on the Pentagon about the USA's top secret plans against China should there be a war, according to the failing New York Times, one of the worst and most purposely inaccurate newspapers anywhere in the world. Their fake concept for this story is that because Elon does some business in China, that he's very conflicted and would immediately go to stop Chinese officials and spill the beans. Ratings challenge fake news. CNN immediately picked up on this absolutely ridiculous and false story, which is probably libelous, and went heavy with it. Fortunately, nobody was watching. Maggot Hagerman, the really dumb scammer who constantly writes about me for the Times using anonymous, made-up, non-existent sources, and who I haven't spoke to in ages, is a big part of the scam. She leads the Russia hoax, only to realize that she was duped and got it wrong. She owes me a totally discredited Pulitzer Prize for her bad reporting. The fake news is the enemy of the people. And Elon is not being briefed on anything China by the Department of War. And right there, Elon and Trump, Sean Parnell, shut down the fake news. And once again, everyone can see how fake the news really is. And what's very interesting is we're starting to see a pattern across all the agencies. The Department of Government agency put this out and said, there is a pattern across all agencies where IT modernization contracts do not pay for outcomes performance. Instead, they pay for time. Therefore, the incentive is for contractors to never finish, resulting in incredible waste. As an example, IRS modernization started in 1990 to be delivered in 1996. Today, the work is not complete, and the contractors say it's still 5 years away. 29 years behind schedule and approximately $15 billion over budget. Everyone loses except the government contractors. This must change. This week, the IRS froze approximately $1.5 billion in modernization contracts, none of which have any effect on tax filings. All of those contracts will then either be canceled or the contract terms will be changed to pay for performance. But the question is, did the money just go to the contractors or were they kicking it back to other individuals? Think about it, because this was over 29 years. I mean, really? So again, you know that this money is being laundered some other place, because there's absolutely no way they were working on this for 29 years, which means this was just a one gigantic money laundering scheme. And I do believe that Elon and team, they're going to find out where this money has gone. Let's see how this all plays out. This is going to be very, very interesting. Now, the other thing that's really interesting is we could see that Trump gave Iran a warning. Distance yourself from the Houthis. We know you're funding them. We know you're giving them supplies and everything else. And then all of a sudden, a report came out. And the report shows that Trump was right. A new report now reveals that not only have top Iranian military leaders been providing support for the Houthis, but Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is personally involved. Following a year of significant setbacks in the Middle East for Iran with proxy forces flagging in the Gaza Strip, Lebanon, and Syria, Tehran is leaning on its influence over the Houthi terrorist group in Yemen to carry out its offensive aims. According to the findings obtained by sources embedded in Tehran, who are affiliated with the Iranian resistance group called the People's Mujahideen Organization of Iran, not only are some of Iran's most senior military officials in its Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps involved in the Houthi decision-making, but Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, has his thumb on the deadly group. And then all of a sudden, the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, used his address marking the Persian New Year, Nowruz, to claim that Iran does not want or need proxy terrorist organizations, contrary to decades of evidence of Iran serving as the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism and has no authority over Yemen's Houthi terrorists. So does that mean they're backing off? Does that mean they're trying to spin it, saying that we have nothing to do with it, never did, and they're backing off, pretending that, see, we had nothing to do with it? Let's see how this plays out. This is going to be very, very interesting. Now, the other thing that we could see is that Trump, he's trying to negotiate a peace deal between Putin and Zelensky. And we know the deep state players behind the scenes, unelected people. Yes, those people out in the EU, they're unelected, and the other people are installed. They want war. That's what they really want. And what's very interesting, since there's supposedly a ceasefire and there's peace negotiations going on, all of a sudden, we see that Kiev blows up a Russian gas substation in the Kursk region. So once again, let's see, there's supposed to be a ceasefire. Trump is negotiating peace. Putin said, okay, we will not kill your soldiers that are surrounded. He even released some soldiers, and they decided to bomb the area of Kursk. Now, was this the deep state players trying to push this war? It's starting to seem that way. And remember, this gas metering station in Russia's Kursk region, this is the sole pipeline sending Russian gas to the EU through Ukraine. So now they're not going to be receiving gas, which means gas prices are going to go up. And was this done on purpose to get the EU nations pissed off and angry? And maybe they're going to push back. Let's see how this all plays out, because Trump, he is now suggesting that a deal between Ukraine and Russia is imminent. So the deep state players on one hand They're trying to keep the war going. Trump, he's trying to negotiate peace. He's saying peace is imminent, and he believes that it's going to happen very, very soon. So let's see how this plays out, because this is going to be very, very interesting, because you know what people are going to see? They're going to see that, look, they are the warmongers. They're still pushing war. Trump wants peace, and he's trying to negotiate while you're attacking Russia. It makes no sense. And this is what people are watching right now. This is what people are seeing. And I think people are, it's becoming clearer and clearer every single day. Just like when Trump said to all the different governors, listen, no men on women's sports. And what did Maine do? What did the Maine governor do? Oh, yeah, we're not going to listen to you. I'll see you in court. Well, it looks like they caved. Maine University have caved to the Trump administration and agreed to keep men out of women's sports after Trump threatens federal funding. It's amazing when you decide to use money to force these individuals to do what you want them to do. Because again, without the money, they can't operate. And this is showing you that they can't operate without the money. They need the money. But soon, this money is going to dry up and they're not going to have any money. But again, you could see there's a lot of different organizations across the world, like The Who and many others. They're having a major, major difficult time. And what's very interesting about this is now you get to see why we had so many duplicate Social Security numbers and why they leaked the Social Security numbers out. Remember, right before the election, all of a sudden there was a big leak of all the Social Security numbers, because what do they use them for? They use them for the illegals. Walter Kurt put this out and said, 400,800 illegal immigrants are attending U.S. colleges across the country, roughly 2% of the total higher education population, according to the American Immigration Council. The question is, how are they paying for it? The average cost of college tuition in the United States for state tuitions is roughly $30,000 per year, including room and board and fees. If all 400,000 of those illegals were being given student loans, what would end up being almost $12 billion per year? And $48 billion if they attended all 4 years. Of course, if you go looking, the information available says it isn't possible for illegals in the United States to get federal student loans, because to fill out a FAFSA, you have to have what? A Social Security number. But that again asks the question, how are they paying? Most illegal immigrants come from poor families and would be unable to afford the tuition on their own. So let's assume, for sake of argument, that half of the number, which is extremely implausible, was able to get scholarships or grants from NGO organizations to fund their tuition. That would still leave $6 billion unaccounted for per year. We are now aware, thanks to Elon Musk and Doge team, that the Social Security Administration database is not exactly up to par. What are the chances that there are Social Security numbers being given out or used multiple times to fill out FAFSA forms? There is a massive amount of money unaccounted for here. It needs to be looked into. Are illegal immigrants getting federal tax dollars to pay for college? If they aren't, how are they paying? And when you really think about it, think about the student loans and think about Biden. Data Republican responded to this and said, good article. Are you able to check on whether duplicate Social Security numbers are being used for FAFSA? She asked the question. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are used for that, because think about it. Biden was canceling student loans. So let's see, if the illegals use Social Security numbers, they got student loans, then Biden canceled the student loans. The colleges got the money. Were they funneling it back to someplace else? Were they keeping a portion of it and then laundering the rest? Maybe, maybe not. That is very, very interesting. But you could see that Trump, he has signed an executive order to remove the Department of Education. And think about it. Go back in time. Ronald Reagan wanted to do this. Why did Trump want to remove the Department of Education? Because this is where the brainwashing starts. This is where they went ahead and they started to brainwash our kids going way, way back in time. And they started to teach kids things that were completely against this country. And this is why Ronald Reagan, going back all the way in time, wanted to get rid of the Department of Education, because you have to remember, the founding fathers never wanted a centralized system. And what is Trump and the Patriots actually really doing? They're decentralizing the deep state's centralized system. And now he's going to be moving the Department of Education duties probably to the Small Business Administration, which means the student loans and everything else is going to be moving to that area. And we're going to see the shutdown of many, many centralized agencies because Trump is going back to the Constitution. He's decentralizing what the deep state centralized. And this is how the deep state was able to create the power that they had. Because once you centralize everything, you can then threaten every single state. You're not getting the federal money. You're not getting federal money. You're not getting federal money. And this is what you have to teach. If you teach something else, you're not getting federal money. So this is how they're able to control the education process of the children and brainwash them generation after generation after generation. And now when you look around, it explains what you're seeing. It explains why these people hate America. Thank God there were a lot of individuals that were able to think logically and not believe everything that they were saying. And the people started to wake up and the people started to see what was going on and how the country was being destroyed from within. So we could see that Trump now has gotten rid of this, which means everything the deep state is going to try to do from this point on, it's going to fail because now the children are going to learn the history of this country. They're going to be proud of this country. And this is something they do not want. Now, the other thing that we could see is that all those individuals that went after Trump, they projected all their crimes onto him. And when you look at AG Letitia James, or as Trump calls her, Peekaboo James, he decided to put this out on Truth. And it says, AG Letitia James, building permits raise serious concerns. So New York Attorney General Letitia James has made a name for herself prosecuting landlords and real estate fraudsters. Yet, our investigation reveals troubling discrepancies in her own property filings, irregularities that would likely result in stiff penalties for most New Yorkers. Documents from New York City Department of Buildings show a pattern of inconsistencies about a Brooklyn property James owns, inconsistencies that mysteriously receive special treatment when reported. The certificate of occupancy for 296 Lafayette Avenue in Brooklyn, the legal document establishing permitted use, clearly states that the property is a five-family dwelling regulated under New York City housing laws. Yet James repeatedly filed permit applications identifying the same property as a four-family dwelling, a classification subject to different regulatory requirements under New York City building codes. Under New York City building classification, her property with five units would be classified as C2, which applies to buildings with five-plus units. With her filing listed as a C3, which applies to 3-to-4-unit building, this fundamental contradiction between the certificate of occupancy and her permit application raises serious questions about regulatory compliance. There are multiple discrepant filings, which shows that there's a pattern, and this is not a mistake. This wasn't a one-time error. They uncovered multiple DOB permit applications containing identical discrepancies. Back in July 2020, September 2020, these discrepancies potentially implicate several New York laws. So everything that she put on Trump, she is the one who has been doing it. And maybe there needs to be a criminal investigation into what she has done. Absolutely unbelievable. But Trump, he has now agreed to withdraw his March 14, 2025 executive order regarding the Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison LLP law firm, which has entered into the following agreement with the president. And this is what Trump put out. Paul Weiss agrees that the bedrock principle of American justice is that it must be fair and nonpartisan for all. Our justice system is betrayed when it is misused to achieve political ends. Lawyers and law firms play a pivotal role in ensuring that we live up to the standard as a nation. Law firms should not favor any political party when it comes to choosing their clients. Firms also should not make decisions on whom to hire based on personal political affiliation. To do otherwise is to deny some Americans an equal opportunity for our services while favoring others. Lawyers abandon the profession's highest ideals when they engage in partisan decision-making and betray the ethical obligation to represent those who are unpopular or disfavored in a particular environment. Paul Weiss affirms its unwavering commitment to these core ideals and principles and will not deny representation to clients, including in pro bono matters and in support of nonprofits, because of the personal political views of individual lawyers. Paul Weiss will take on a wide range of pro bono matters that represent the full spectrum of political viewpoints of our society, whether conservative or liberal. Paul Weiss affirms its commitment to merit-based hiring, promotion, and retention, and will not adopt, use, or pursue any DEI policies. As part of its commitment, it will engage experts to be mutually agreed upon within 14 days to conduct comprehensive audit of all of its employment practices. Paul Weiss will dedicate the equivalent of $40 million in pro bono legal services over the course of President Trump's term to support the administration's initiatives, including assisting our nation's veterans, fairness in the justice system, the president's task force to combat anti-Semitism, and other mutual agreed projects. Statement from the White House: the president is agreeing to this action in light of a meeting with Paul Weiss Chairman Brad Karp, during which Mr. Karp acknowledged the wrongdoings of former Paul Weiss partner Mark Pomerantz, the grave dangers of weaponization, and the vital need to restore our system of justice. In response to the president's announcement, Paul Weiss Chairman Brad Karp said, "We are gratified that the president has agreed to withdraw the executive order concerning Paul Weiss. We look forward to an engaged and constructive relationship with the president and his administration." So it looks like they backed off and they're doing exactly what the president wants. But you can see the deep state players, not all of them are going along with it. And they're going to fight to the very, very end, because those people that scream the loudest, they have the most to lose. And what's very interesting is, like we said in the very, very beginning, Schumer admitted that the Democrats installed over 200 activist judges to thwart President Trump and his agenda. This was the plan from the start, and we can see it. And judge after judge is trying to tell Trump how to run each department in the executive branch. They are now dictating orders to him on how to run this. Think about what's happening right now. Marion Afal put this out and said, "Federal judge takes over USAID hiring, blocks Trump pick. Judge Theodore D. Shawang has barred Jeremy Lewin, a former DOGE team member, from becoming deputy administrator of USAID. Instead of letting the administration make its own staffing decision, he decided that he was going to do this." That is very interesting. Then Amuse put this out about Boasberg. "An Obama-appointed judge told Trump's lawyers they should assume that if a hearing is scheduled to challenge the president's actions, he will rule against them. Imagine trying to govern with 700 district court judges that expect you to be a mind reader." Elon responded to this and said, "He's a radical activist cosplaying as a judge." He's absolutely right. Then Amuse put this out. "Obama judge is now acting like a special prosecutor and not an unbiased federal judge. Judge Boasberg is now conducting an evidentiary hearing demanding sworn testimony from a member of Trump's cabinet regarding state secrets. This is not normal." No, it's not. Julie Kelly responds to all this and says, "Reviewing March 15 Venezuela terrorist hearing transcripts, this is the proceeding where Boasberg claimed to have issued a verbal order demanding return of the TDA gang members. This is something coming from Boasberg. These folks are going to be sent to Salvadorian or Honduran prisons, which were not going to be terribly receptive to Venezuelans, particularly who have been labeled TDA. And so not only are they going to be deported, but it's not going to be a friendly countryside, but to prisons. So why isn't, don't you think that's irreparable harm? He showed no such concern for Trump supporters when sending them to federal prisons." Boasberg, on a number of occasions, acknowledged the rush proceedings. At the start of the hearing, he apologized for his casual dress. He didn't have the robe or even a dress shirt because he had been out of town, and admitted he was scrambling for information related to this. The Trump administration, Kelly says, did not ignore a court order. Boasberg ignored presidential authority and admitted as much. And this is what he said: "A brief delay in their removal does not cause the government harm. I haven't heard any harm from the government beyond general infringement on presidential powers, which, again, I don't take lightly." Yes, yes, you do. And remember, John Roberts put him in position where he was in charge of the FISA court, and he actually authorized illegal spying on the president. Very interesting. Then Marin O'Fall put this out and said, Chief Justice Roberts is linked to secretive club with anti-Trump judges. It has been revealed that Chief Justice John Roberts is part of an elite invite-only group called the American Inns of Court, alongside some of the most openly anti-Trump judges in D.C. The group includes James Boasberg, Beryl Howell, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Amit Mehta, many of whom have ruled against Trump in high-profile cases. Roberts, listed as an honorary bencher of the Middle Temple, is also allegedly linked to a Soros-funded legal fellowship. The revelation follows Roberts' recent statement defending these judges and rejecting Trump's call for their impeachment, raising major ethical concerns. Absolutely. And now we have Mike Lee. He'll be introducing a bill next week to require this type of request for injunctive relief to go before a three-judge district court with a direct appeal to SCOTUS. This kind of mischief would be far more difficult to carry out with the legislation in place. And yes, this is something that Josh Hawley brought up. The legislator needs to rein them in and say, no, no, you're out of your jurisdiction. You don't have the right to do this. If you notice, SCOTUS is going to be given the chance. If they don't use this, then everyone's going to be looking at the judiciary saying that it is far gone now. And the legislator, which is we the people, we are going to get involved and we're going to shut it all down. Trump, he put this out and said, unlawful nationwide injunctions by radical left judges could very well lead to the destruction of our country. These people are lunatics who do not care even a little bit about the repercussions from their very dangerous and incorrect decisions and rulings. Lawyers endlessly search the United States for these judges and file lawsuits as quickly as they find them. It is then the obligation of a law-abiding agency of government to have these orders overturned. The danger is unparalleled. These judges want to assume the powers of the presidency without having to attain 80 million votes. They want all the advantages with none of the risks. Again, a president has to be allowed to act quickly and decisively about such matters as returning murderers, drug lords, rapists, and other such type of criminals back to their homeland or to other locations that will allow our country to be safe. It is our goal to make America great again, and such a high aspiration can never be done if a radical and highly partisan judges are allowed to stand in the way of justice. Stop nationwide injunctions now before it is too late. If Justice Roberts and the United States Supreme Court do not fix this toxic and unprecedented situation immediately, our country is in a very serious trouble. And he's absolutely right. The country is in very serious trouble. Because, again, can this be seen as an insurrection? It's starting to seem that way, isn't it? So they're having another insurrection against the president of the United States. So let's see how this all plays out. But again, most importantly, what are the people seeing? They're seeing the shadow deep state government. Dan Scavino, he put out a post on X with a jet fighter flying over. And this video was 5 seconds long and it was put out at 12:34 a.m. Now, before we go to the Q post, I just want to read certain things that Blueprint put out there, which I find very, very interesting. And this is what he said. Keep your emotions in check. A 30,000 foot view is key. Trump and the Patriots are leading the final smokeout phase. They're revealing to the voting supermajority exactly who needs to be primaried and voted out at midterms to finish securing our constitutional Congress. As we approach, Trump will undoubtedly elevate the candidates needed. Once we flood midterms with MAGA Congress supermajority, every American First bill will flood to Trump's desk and become law. With a congressional MAGA supermajority working around the clock just as the executive branch is, for we the people, every bill we've ever needed to finish this war and save America will be legalized in a year's time. Keep fighting. Then he put this out. In addition to creating bills that become law, what else can Congress do? Impeach. This includes lower court judges and Article III judges at SCOTUS. Think logically. Illegal alien vote? Gone. Establishment wet works? Gone. Election rigging system? No longer stealth? Done. Serial D-class? Done. The Great Awakening succeeding to unite America's voters supermajority? Done. 100 million plus MAGA voters tallied at midterm? Due to all the incredible outcomes, we will count by election day. That's actually achievable now. What happens after we primary all the remaining infiltrators? This admin is fully smoking out right now to flood Congress with a D5 avalanche of MAGA patriots Trump elevates with us from now to then. But even that can be undone. The enormity of what is coming will shock the world. Pray. And I do believe there's a lot more coming. So let me just read the two posts. The first one is post 5. I'm going to read the bottom line here. It says, the truth is mind-blowing and cannot fully be exposed. Also, many are thinking from one point of view, U.S. only. This evil is embedded globally. U.S. is the first domino. Have faith. Then post 1234. America will be united again. 11/11/2018, which it doesn't mean it's 2018. So I do believe that when all's said and done, and all of this is exposed, you're going to see more and more people wake up, more and more people think logically, and we are going to become a united country against a common enemy, the evil that is in our country. And this, once this domino falls, it's going to spread across the world, and the people are going to rise up and take back the power. It starts with the U.S., and it's going to end with the world. Why? Because the patriots are in control. Listen, everyone. Thanks a lot for listening. Be well, be safe, and especially be prepared. Thanks a lot.